From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. At this very moment, as we're going to air Thursday morning, President Biden is on board Air Force One en route from Joint Base Andrews outside of Washington to Rockford, to the airport there. He's visiting Illinois, Belvidere more specifically, to meet with Governor J.B. Pritzker, along with United Auto Workers President Sean Fain and members of that union. The visit comes in the wake of tentative agreements in the month-and-a-half-long strike against automakers. A Belvidere auto plant that's been closed since February would reopen as part of that agreement. Automaker Stellantis, which is behind brands like Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler, would invest nearly $5 billion in Belvidere, a plant that's been a significant part of the northern Illinois economy since it opened in 1965. Now, if all goes according to this tentative agreement's plan, the plant will produce a mid-sized truck later this decade, and it would also get a battery factory. All of this, according to the union, would generate at least a couple thousand jobs. Biden has been pretty clearly on the union side throughout this strike, and in September, he became the first sitting president to join a union picket line. To talk about Biden's visit to Illinois and how that fits into his political platform, we're joined now by Lynn Sweet, who's Washington bureau chief for the Chicago Sun-Times. Lynn, welcome back. Thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Well, thanks for having me on the show.
So how have Governor Pritzker really and President Biden talk about how their actions during this strike, you know, underscored what they see as the significance of, you know, auto workers in general and this Belvidere plant in specifically?
Well, the Belvidere plant, which started life as a Chrysler plant, is an economic engine for northern Illinois. Anyone who's driven by it on the tollway would be struck by the enormity of it. So for decades now, people have needed jobs and had their lives dependent on that plant. In February, the plant shut down with no date when it would reopen. Now, this is months before the strike. So this became an issue that was a matter on the radar of Governor Pritzker, locals, members of the State House, the representative of Belvidere in Congress, Bill Foster. So bucket one, aside from the strike, there was a push to get this thing open one way or the other. Then you had the strike, which meant that nothing was going to happen for sure as long as the strike went on. And that's where things kicked in to a little higher gear. Pritzker was instrumental in putting together a financial incentive package to help convince Stellantis to not only reopen the plant, but to reopen it in a more robust way. So there will be more than 1,000 workers on top of the 1,300 who had worked there. Now, these workers will be added because, for one thing, there's going to be an electric vehicle battery plant. So on the side, you have the state package being readied. Then there's increasing communication with the Biden administration that includes trying to not only outreach in the union, but to somehow convince Stellantis. So while there in the background were some federal incentives, in the end, President Biden ended up calling the chief operating officer of Stellantis, Mark Stewart, and asking that this plant be reopened. And ultimately, even in a sense, more telling for this story is that it became wrapped up in the negotiations with UAW that this plant should be reopened. So this, this in short is some of the backstory to what's happening.
Yeah. So, I mean, talk about President Biden's sort of hands-on role here. It is, you know, Democrats have long been allied with unions. That's no surprise to anyone. But he actually went and walked the picket line with workers in Michigan during this strike. That is unprecedented as far as I know.
It is. In my column today in the Sun-Times, I started it by recalling a very famous union song, "Which Side Are You On? Which Side Are You On?" And it became very famous when Pete Seeger popularized it, though he was not the author of the lyrics. And in this case, there's no fence straddling. Biden took a side. And that is historically remarkable. There are policy reasons and political reasons for doing it. Policy-wise, there is a belief, programmatically and policy-wise, that collective bargaining is good for the workforce, good for blue-collar workers, thereby, in your analysis, good for the economy in America. Then politically, it's also their acknowledgement that union members are mainly and often Democratic, and that's a big part of the Democratic base.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. We're talking about President Biden's visit to Illinois. As far as we know, Air Force One is still en route to Rockford, should be touching down any minute. He's going to be sort of voicing his support for auto workers, as he's done earlier this year. The strike is over. Workers are still mulling that. Assuming everything goes according to plan, there's going to be, as we've been discussing, a big upgrade to an auto plant in Belvidere that's been closed since February. So what else are we expecting Biden to focus on during this visit to Rockford and Belvidere today?
Well, also, just in the bigger picture, by the way, Vice President Harris, as we speak, is at a pipefitters union apprenticeship program near Boston right now. So in a sense, this is a big, big push on labor just today alone. So what we could expect at Belvidere, and this event is not at the plant, it's at another building in town, but there'll be a speech by Biden, there'll be a speech by Pritzker. I would expect that UAW, perhaps the president of the national, maybe the local, will speak too.
And so I think I forgot to, when I reset our conversation there, I forgot to mention we are talking with Lynn Sweet, Washington Bureau Chief of the Chicago Sun-Times. So let me be sure to give you your due, especially since you are singing for us today, as well as sharing your reporting and knowledge. You know, it's interesting to me that Biden is coming to Illinois. This is certainly not his first visit, right? He's been here. He was in Kankakee last year. Now he's in Rockford. This is not a state he really needs to worry about on the presidential election map. What do you see as his angle?
The angle is this is where the plant is. Sometimes the simple answer is a simple answer.
Okay.
If this plant were across the border in Wisconsin, which actually would help him more politically than in Illinois, that's where he would be. But this is where one of his biggest success stories is. And it's in Boone County. And as your Illinois listeners know, or maybe some are listening from Boone County, it's one of the red spots in the blue state of Illinois. Trump won the county in 2020. Pritzker lost it in 22. So did Bill Foster. So this isn't about trying to win Illinois in 2024. It's about showing off one of the best examples of what you call your labor success. And by the way, as long as he's in the neighborhood, later today, President Biden goes to Chicago for a big fundraiser with mega donors.
Yeah, always another good reason to visit a blue state is for raising money for these presidential candidates. What do we know? Any those sorts of things are typically closed press, right? We don't. Do you have any insight into who he's meeting with, who he'll be seeing there?
Well, sure, and we will. Actually, it's not closed press.
Okay.
A poll reporter is allowed to go.
All right.
May not stay for the whole thing, but at least the remarks of the president is covered, and it's a good thing because when he's a little in a non-scripted situation. In Belvidere, there will be a speech. I'm sure it's written. It will be read. When you're doing a talk with fundraisers, you sometimes go off script and accidentally sometimes make news you didn't intend or just provide insights that explain more about something. So
yeah,
I think it's very important that these things are covered.
The dream of every political reporter is to get the candidate or the politician to go off script. Absolutely. Just talk about the bigger picture Democrats find themselves in right now, since you do cover a lot of politics as well as policy out of Washington. There was a big New York Times poll over the weekend that has a lot of Democrats worried about President Biden's standing, particularly in some of the states that he would need to win the Electoral College in 2024. Are you talking to a lot of Democrats who are nervous heading into next year's elections?
And actually, to underscore it, there's also a CNN poll that shows the same trend line. The Biden campaign this morning put out, had a briefing with its very top people who addressed some of the, maybe the worry warts, or what is the word when?
David Axelrod says bedwetters a lot, but
yes, and that's, yes, and that's the word that Governor Pritzker used today in the interview earlier. So this is for the bedwetters, and they have an interesting frame that the issues are on their side. The victory in Ohio and Kentucky and Virginia on Tuesday night, mainly over the issue of abortion, speaks to what Democrats are about. So in a sense, if you kind of can make that work, that Biden's policies are there for you, hopefully it will reduce the need for Biden to be able to transform himself into a 55-year-old, which of course he cannot do. I think it's a little tough because it's not easy. But the point they're making is that Biden, whatever shape he is in, is in full command of a set of policies that are good for you and can deliver on policies that are good for working people of America, however you define it. Now, there may be, and there's a lot of splits and difference of opinions in foreign policy going on, but that would take place no matter his age.
You know, another reason it strikes me that Biden may want to keep close tabs on Illinois and in Chicago in particular is that the Democrats are going to be having their national convention there next year. And I wonder what you hear from Democrats about that, right? There's this concern of the reality and frankly, the TV visuals of tent encampments of asylum seekers and, you know, a city with a reputation for crime and disorder. Are Democrats still enthusiastic about coming to Chicago?
Well, there's a lot to think about between now and then. And here's why Democrats are very excited about being in Chicago, because every state official delegation is going to have a hotel downtown or near downtown. The accommodations and logistics are going to be easy. There is no other city where the logistics issues are better addressed than Chicago. And to our listeners, that may sound absurd, but every city has a plus and minus. The city's in the end in the running. Atlanta and New York. Well, New York has its own problems with migrants. And for anyone who's been there, they've got a lot of garbage on their streets in Manhattan, even in the best of times.
Yes, so, those giant mounds of black plastic bags at night,
yes,
always a visual
not
delight.
Not attractive, not a look. So the convention takes place, if you want, in a bubble where you go to events, whatever you may, and everyone hopes that you get out and about in the city. But it's a big city. These tents are not everywhere. It is just a fact of life that when people come to a city, in a giant city like Chicago, they may see some, they will see some stunning things, the lakefront, the loop. But yes, they will see probably there will be evidence of migrants. And maybe by then, I would think that by next August, there will be a plan and a policy so people are not living in tents or sleeping on floors in police stations, and there's addressing that. So I think the question probably more is if there is seen as a dangerous city where you can't go out or people see that. That's kind of a mesh of reality and perception. And again, any big city has those problems. It's just still, besides the point, because this is the city that's going to have the convention and the planning is going on. It's not like there's another alternative. The train left the station. It's going to be in Chicago, and the people are going to come.
Yeah. Just a couple of minutes left in our time together. Last thing I want to ask you about is Governor Pritzker is appearing with the president, and the governor has really wrapped his arms around Biden. Anytime someone mentions his name, at least to his face, about, you could be a presidential contender, he says, oh, no, I'm supporting Biden 100%. And yet we have seen this a little bit of pushback on the migrant issue, a letter to the president. Do you see any daylight there? How do you think about their relationship heading into next year?
Well, again, multiple things can be true at once. People in the White House understand the situation and how tough it is in cities like Chicago. So if there is some pressure on the White House to do more, it's understandable. Noteworthy, the the complaints have not been as loud or as constant in Chicago as they have been coming out of New York.
Interesting. So you think that Pritzker and maybe the mayor here are moderating themselves a little bit compared to New York City?
Well, I think the mayor is a little bit of a junior partner in this situation for the moment. Neither of them have been as aggressive and as boisterous in their comments as New York Mayor Adams, who for the moment seems a little sidelined by an investigation into some allegations of political corruption.
Fair enough. And, you know, a relief that we're not saying that about Illinois' top officials for once. Lynn Sweet, Washington Bureau Chief with the Chicago Sun-Times. Always great to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We're going to continue our program after a short break, and we're going to talk about the question, who counts as a Midwesterner? I mean, no question about us in the Prairie State, but what about people in the Dakotas or Colorado? What about Idaho? A new study looks at Midwestern identity, how far it stretches, what it all means. We're going to talk about it. If you want to join our conversation, are you a Midwesterner, and what does that mean to you? 800-222-9455 is the number. More to come after a short break. It's the 21st show. Stay with us.